Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Brett, and I got Kyle here with me, and we have another special guest. You know, we said last week that we give the people what they want, and so we have another female guest coming back to the show for another time. And no, sorry for all those people that are expecting to have dramatic Bible reading today. We don't have that on the schedule, but...
Wait, that means who's here?
That means that we have... Agnes Chi. Well, Agnes Chen. I always mess up her name, but we have Agnes here. Welcome to the show, Agnes.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
No, it's funny. When we first sat down and she said, oh, I got to listen. I thought, oh, great. She's pulling out what we're going to be reading for dramatic reading. I'm like, oh, man, here we go.
We know how much Kyle loves that segment.
No, I thought I'd give you a break this
time. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay, so like we've talked about, I've been taking the Emotionally Healthy Relationships class with Mimo, and Agnes and her family have been taking it with us. And so a couple weeks ago, we were talking in one of the breaks, and I'd mentioned to her about coming on the podcast. And she actually said during the quiet time during our class that the Lord spoke to her and told her that she needs to come on. So Agnes, can you share a little bit about that experience?
Yes. So I'm just going to plug that class, Emotionally Healthy Relationships. We've been taking it. I had the whole family take it, even though Jaden and Noah were like, why are we taking this? You're just making us take it. But I said, you'll see, it's important for us to be able to communicate better and to, you know, be emotionally healthy. So what happened is part of the class is also really just getting quiet time with the Lord. So in each class, we spend 2 minutes in stillness before the Lord.
No, it's 4 minutes.
Yeah, okay,
come
fine.
Come on.
I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
It's 2 minutes first, and then
you
connect with the Lord, and then it's 2 minutes later. But so in the first 2 minutes during one of the classes, I felt like the Lord brought up this going on this podcast and then talking about marriage. And so I asked the Lord, what do you want me to share about marriage? And then I think he told me to just share some things that I've learned and how I would do things different and stuff like that. So I told Damon and he's like, okay.
So is that's talking about marriage specifically tied in with like the class, like the communication and like learning to... like relate together? Is that an aspect of it?
Yes, that's part of it, but it's also kind of, so Henry and I will be married 20 years, like in May, this coming May. So it's kind of about what I've learned since before getting married and getting married. And then now after almost 20 years of marriage, kind of what I've realized, like what I could have done better and what I'm continuing to work on. And this is not going to be a bashing of Henry session or anything like that. It's going to be from my perspective what I should be doing and things like that.
Awesome. So we are continuing our Renewing the Mind series. And I really felt like when Agnes was sharing with me some of the things that she wanted to talk about today, that it would really fit in this renewing our mind, especially in terms of how we see relationships and how we are a part of relationships. And so... if you're single out there, yes, we are going to be talking about marriage, but we will have some things to say about singleness and relationships. So it's not just confined to the marriage space. So if you're single out there, don't just turn off this episode and say this one doesn't apply to me, because we're going to still be, you know, as she was talking about it with us and briefing us on one of the things that she wanted to say, it's like this applies to all relationships, not just the marriage. But these are things that she learned about relationships while working out her own marriage. So I think it's going to be a really good episode, and we're looking to have a lot of fun on this one. So, Agnes, would you like to share one of the first things that you felt like the Lord was putting on your heart to share today?
Yes. So, I like the number 3, so I have 3 things. But the first thing is it's not about winning. So,
dang. Brett, take notes.
Hey, that's why I've been quiet, because I'm just ready to receive and listen.
Yeah, and part of this, it's not about winning, is really a humility. And I have had a really hard time learning this throughout marriage. But what it is it's also related to family of origin. So I can kind of explain that to you. But I think even without that, a lot of times we want to be right, right? We want to be right. But growing up, like the way that my parents argued, they really argued. So that means whenever they got into a fight, it was about, is my dad going to win this fight or is my mom going to win this fight? And so I watched that growing up over and over again. And so I think I kind of took that on. And so whenever like Henry and I would argue, it almost became this, it's my job to win the fight. So I'm going to say whatever I'm going to say to win the fight, even if it sounds nasty, even if it's mean, and I'm not even thinking about what I'm actually saying to him, whether it can hurt him or whether it's really true or not true, right? And I think in those moments, it's really difficult because you're trying to win, but what you have to remember is if you win, it's not a win. Because when you're in a relationship, even beyond marriage, right? If you win, that means the other person loses, right? So it really should be about how both of you can compromise. You're smiling, Damon.
Oh, I'm smiling because the Lord talked to me a lot about this topic too. But keep going, keep going, keep going.
So basically, it's realizing that you have to together work it out. And it's not about winning. So the only way you can do that is if you give up yourself. Mm-hmm. If you are humble and say, okay, it's okay. Maybe he's right, right? Maybe I can relinquish that to him. I don't have to be right because it's for the good, right? So if we're arguing about how to raise Jaden and Noah or how to treat a situation, if, you know, I demand that my way is right, and I trample all over him, it really doesn't help the relationship and it doesn't move anything forward. So that is very, very, very hard. And you have to die to yourself in that. And I am no like expert and I'm not perfect. So I still want to win like sometimes. And I'm very competitive too. So it's very hard for me, but that is a key. If you can get to that, like that will really, really help tremendously.
Yeah, I think it's interesting in the class too, because we spend a whole session talking about family of origin, and I'm like, it seems there's some value in it, but I didn't see the depth of it, because then when you go over that, and then in future ones they keep reminding you, oh, remember your family of origin. So just analyzing your family of origin, the patterns you saw and that you kind of carry forward, it does make the relationship building or tearing down, it makes it come to more, there's more clarity to understanding it. And then it's, you know what to work on. So, and I think it's important that our listeners know that that's some good insight for you even. And I know you guys have been talking about that for years. You see things, but then you have to learn the healthy ways to maybe shift that to make it a better approach.
Yeah, because I have a tendency to want to discharge any emotions. So when I have or experience the emotion, I just want to discharge it. Because once it discharges, I feel better. Mm. But then you can say some pretty awful things.
Yeah, it comes with some shrapnel and some stuff. And it's like leaves some wounds.
It does. And then you can't take it back. So I think just knowing the power of words, honestly, is huge, because once you've spoken it out into the air, you can't take it back. Even if you said it in the heat of the moment, right? And you didn't really mean it.
Even if you say that afterwards, well, I didn't really mean that, but it's there and it got delivered.
It got sunk in there, right? And then they're going to, he has to turn it, like either pick it out or the Lord has to pick it out, or he has to become a shield, right? Or have a shield there. And then that actually puts up a wall between you two. So the next time you talk, you're not as open, right?
Like, who wants to go first? I'm still waiting for Damon. Damon was smiling and he has some good stuff to share. So I think he deflected to you first, Brett. So.
No, I agree with everything that you said, and I think that one of the ways that I to add on to the winning aspect, because I like winning too, you like if one person wins and one person loses, then overall for your relationship, whether it's a marriage or a friendship or whatever, it's not really a win. But the only time you can actually get a win is when you both win. And so what does it look like for both of you to be heard, understood, apologize, whatever it is, to be on the same page and understanding is, I've learned that that's more important than even the quote unquote, whichever person thinks this is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it'll play itself out or, you know, God works it out in whatever way he's going to, but to be on the same page, to make sure that both people feel understood and heard brings more of a victory for both of you rather than just proving the other person wrong or the decision that you want to make ends up being the decision. And so, yeah, I agree that a lot of it comes with humility. And yeah, Pastor, I'm always going to remember Pastor Barry told me, I don't know if you ever really know when you're ready to get married, but you got to be ready to die to yourself. And I was just like, dang, all right.
Wow. Thanks for the pep talk.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you know what that means until you're married.
Yeah.
Or until you have kids. I mean, right?
Yeah, or just until you're willing to invest in a deep relationship. So, I mean, even an intimate, like more of a deep friendship even, that, mm-hmm. that you're willing to be vulnerable and you're willing to, that person might hurt you or might do something that hurts. So, yeah. No, I think marriage and kids are a high level of that. But, yeah, It's all theory until you're actually put in the line of fire, right?
Yeah. And then I was thinking too, it's also not about just giving up and just so in the fight too, like the other mode that I can go in, if I feel like I can't win the fight, sometimes I'll just go, okay, whatever. You're right.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. And I'm just going to do whatever I want. So I'll be like, okay, you're right. And then I walk off and then I do whatever I want. Right.
Yeah.
So that's also not, that's just abdicating. You're not conceding. Well, you're conceding, but you're not really hearing the other person. And you're just like, whatever. Okay. I'm out, you know? And I've done that too.
Well, I think you said one word earlier for me was hard is compromise, because I think for me that word had a level that I took it to like compromise your values, compromise your beliefs too. It's like, well, no, then if we have to come up with blend our differences, then I feel like I have to give up my values or my beliefs. And really it's not. It's like that's what makes it hard. You have to hold on to those. Yeah, you have to find some kind of common ground and find a way forward where you both can still keep your your values, yet still find a way. And that's the difficult, the muddy. It takes a lot more effort and energy. But I'm the same way. I'm like, well, fine then. I'm just gonna bail and I'll keep my values to myself and I'll go a different direction.
You're laughing a lot, Brent.
Because. I mean, it hits home, and I don't want Brittany to feel like I'm targeting her or anything. But just in general, in relationships, that I know that's how it can be with your parents, with friends or whatever. It's kind of like, in some ways, you think you're doing what's best for the both of you by saying, like, fine, like, I don't care. We'll just do it your way. Mm-hmm. But that's part of also that, like, false harmony thing, right? When both people aren't able to be honest and... yeah, be heard in that way, then there's going to be left with some kind of wound or something where it just doesn't sit right because you're like, well, last time this person, you could just go so deep into all of this with, communication, with expectations, with intentions, with all of that stuff. But yeah, until you're able to, I think, openly... and in a safe space, both people willing to receive and hear those things, then, there's a lot to learn so that both people can win in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it doesn't always feel like a win per se. It's not like, yay, it's all good. It's like, no, you know, you did it the way that God wants you to do it. Mm-hmm. And you got to be okay with that. Cause
good word.
Sometimes I'm like, if this is how winning feels, it's not worth it.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, so for me, some of the things that I felt like I've wrestled with personally is that I think from my personality type, I'm more like, I understand that just arguing, just to argue, sometimes just takes a toll and time. Mm-hmm. And I want to move on to like the, how do we fix this? Or how do we get to another place? So for myself, I guess intentionally lose in order
To finish it,
just to like to end that part.
Yeah. And you're so a saboteur.
So we could move to something else. But then I felt how sneaky the enemy was, because I felt like he was saying, like he would drop in these, like, you're such a loser because you always lose. You're such a loser because you always lose.
Dang.
And then, and so then it was like, she's not going to want to be with a loser or something like that. Right. So it's kind of like, that's going to increase the distance between you. Right. Is because you're seeing yourself as a loser and you always lose. So I also felt like the Lord said, like, there's times where you do need to stand up for yourself, or there's times where you do need to stand for your values, or there's times where you need to do, like, don't just fall into old habits just because, like, your personality type wants to move on to the next thing, or like how to fix it. But sometimes you need to just stand firm on certain things, just so that to help her to know, like, oh, I'm not married to a loser, you know, like someone that's always losing, right? And so it's tricky how the enemy tries to take those things, right? It's like, okay, you lose one time, so you lost the battle. But then he tries to take it to those other places where it's like, oh, well, you didn't just lose the battle, you're a loser.
It's like your identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he attacks your identity, right?
Yes,
and so
absolutely.
That was something that I felt like the Lord had to really work on in me too, is just to say, like, because I think it was kind of like confirmation bias too, because there were times where I felt like that in the growing up, or different times where I felt like that. And so, you know, when, like, for example, when I was in high school and I wanted to play basketball, it's like, okay, I have to work so hard to prove that I'm not a loser. I have to do all these things to prove it. And so it was like confirmation bias in these to other situations. And it was kind of like the enemy just kept poking at it, like, see, you're a loser, see, you're a loser, see, you're a loser. And so I felt like the Lord really had to, like, reorient me, like, I guess renew my mind, right? To say, like, okay, that's been the pattern of your past. It doesn't need to be the pattern of your future. And the heart of it is because that's how you see yourself, like, as a loser. And so it's, you're justifying it in your mind, or you're saying, oh, it's because I know that that's not going to lead to a solution, so you need to do this in order to get to that. But then I really felt like he said, like, no, you need to reshape who you think you are and how you see yourself, and step into how I see you. And that's not how I see you. And so that's something I've been trying to be more intentional about with my kids too, is when they're kids. So they fight, they argue, and, you know, they all want to be the winner. And so something I keep trying to reinforce with them is, like, kids, like, God wants us to have a strong family. But if we keep trying to bash each other, or trying to have a winner and a loser, that weakens our family. Like, if everybody's encouraging to each other, if everybody's trying to build each other up, and yeah, there's going to be times where someone's doing something wrong that needs to be corrected, but it doesn't need to be a winner-loser situation, because the enemy's trying to get in there to weaken our family and make us not stronger together, I guess.
Yeah, that's so good, Damon. Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that. That's a huge insight from the Lord. But see, it took humility for you to realize that too, right? So, yeah.
You're not a loser, Damon.
You're not.
And I think I can receive that in a different way than I could before, because I think that the Lord has worked on that in me in a different way. Cause I think before it would be like, oh, they're just trying to say something nice to me, cause, or, you know, things like that. So I wouldn't be able to receive it, but I really feel like the Lord has done a work inside of me so that I'm able to receive things like that in a totally different way than I would have before.
Well, I think it shows too, like, sometimes our greatest strengths can be weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a great strength of yours. Like, you're able to adapt. You're able to even, not getting the direction or the path that you want, you can still make it come out to a good place. And so you're able to adapt that way. But then sometimes that can actually lead you to, you know, like, yes, sacrifice your values or your convictions or things like that if you don't recognize it, because mm-hmm. if you're always going down that pattern. So, yeah, even, like, for our listeners, too, like, our strengths, sometimes if we over-rely on them, then it actually can put us in a bad situation, and, you know, that's where we need other people to speak into us and the Lord to be honest with the Lord and let him reveal things to us as well.
Yeah, and that's actually part of how to have better relationships and how to have better marriage. So we'll get to that later. But yeah, thanks for sharing that, Damon.
Okay, so I guess that's a good place to stop with number one. Agnes, you said you came with three things, and, you know, I don't want to spend this as like a 5-hour episode. So I think it'd be good to, why don't you share about the second thing that you had on your mind?
Yeah, so the second thing is get rid of your Hollywood view of love. Okay, so what do I mean by that? And I think, I thought that maybe this affects women more, but I think it affects men too, because if you look at Hollywood and how it portrays marriage and love and relationships, right, it's always about the romantic love. It's always about, you know, the romancing, the flowers, the, you know, John Cusack downstairs at the bottom of the, I'm dating myself.
The Eros love. Wait, right?
Yeah, yeah. And saying, wait, what is that?
You mean Peter, you don't
Gabriel
want
song?
You don't want, yeah, Henry to come out with a boombox over his head?
Right, right.
Or it's people that, like, maybe overemphasize Disney princess movies,
yes,
too.
Yes. Okay. I was guilty of that. Yes. Yeah.
Kyle was pointing straight at Agnes when he said that.
It's the Instagram
yes,
love.
Yes. Okay, now, yeah, it's moved from Disney princess. Now it's the Instagram love. Sorry.
Instagram love?
Just, you only show the best parts, like, the glamour,
yes,
of it.
Yes.
Thanks for bringing us to the current times, Brett. Appreciate it.
I do my best.
Yeah, because you know, when I was growing up, right, it was like, oh, you know, somebody's going to sweep you off your feet, and then they're always going to be nice to you, and they're going to romance you, and they're going to do all these things for you, right? But then when you think about it, it's very self-serving. So that kind of love is not actually the biblical love that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? It's not self-seeking. That's the true biblical love. And it's, okay, so I'm sorry to burst your bubble, the people that are not married or are looking or whatever, but that romantic love, it's nice and it's there and it's part of it, right? But that's going to fizzle out. You know, that cannot be the foundation of your marriage. And I think that happens in the Hollywood movies. They portray that. Like, what is the culmination, right? The culmination is when they end up, like, I don't know, like, probably having something like physical intimacy. That's usually the culmination in a movie, right, in Hollywood. And so I think we need to get that out of our minds. So we need to renew our minds about what actual love is. It's not this, you know, self-seeking. I feel good when I'm with this person, you know, like, this person does things for me. When we were dating, I remember one time, it may have been more than once, but I remember this one specific time, Henry actually cooked, and he cooked an entire meal. I mean, he cooks now, but it's like simple stuff, but I mean,
we said we weren't going to throw him under the bus
this
at
is
all.
Not, no, it's not going there. I just want to say that he can make flan. Mm. He can make flan.
That's not easy.
It's not. So he can do it, right? So when we were dating, like, there's this whole, like, romantic dinner, right? And then he made dinner. He made the entire dinner and he made the flan, right? So of course I'm like, oh, I feel so special. Yeah, that's, like, all nice and you're warm and fuzzy and whatever. But that has gone away, like, a lot, for a long time. Right?
So you're saying he's never made flan since?
No, he is not. But he has made, like, apple pie. So he can do it.
Right.
But so basically you just, you cannot expect that. I mean, it's nice if it's, it should be there. It absolutely needs to be there.
It's an aspect of it.
Yes. 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 That cannot be what your foundation is.
Yeah, I think it shows that there's multiple facets to the word love. Mm-hmm. And I think the Hollywood part that you're saying is focused on one. Like, it's the feeling. It's like, yeah, so if this person makes me feel good, either physically or just emotionally, then it's worthwhile and I'll stick with it. But if that wears off, then that means, oh, then it's dry, then I should move on. And that's our society right now. It's like, divorce is very common because of those kind of reasons, instead of, you know, there's harder things that are going on, but if it's just, you don't have anything else for me, then it's more of like, yeah, it's not worth it for me anymore, so I can just bail on it. And that's definitely not the biblical view. It's the grinding it out through the hard times. And
yes.
Yes, I see you nodding your head right now.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, do you think that you're influenced by that Hollywood view of love through the movies that you watched?
Personally, not really. Sorry, I'm not a huge Disney fan to begin with, so all of that stuff didn't necessarily like change, or it didn't dictate how I saw things. I guess for me, I never looked at Hollywood necessarily being the model of it for me. I can see the appeal, though, or just how, you know, we all have celebrities that we like or movies that we enjoy. And so there is a part of it that we're like, oh, like, I hope it's like that, or I wish... you know, we're seen in that light or whatever it is. There is an aspect of us that I think longs for what that seems like or what we perceive from it. But I think for myself, seeing how fragile the relationships seemed in Hollywood, like how this person's getting divorced or this person's dated like everybody, it's like, after a while, you're like, okay, wait, this is not actually like successful relationships. And so I can't use that as my, yeah, like gauge of, oh, am I doing things right? Or does my relationship look like that? Or whatever it is.
Or would you want your relationship to look like
that?
There's like lacking depth and
stuff. Yeah. And so honestly, for me, I think what has helped in and God using it for good is more of like seeing the brokenness in life and realizing that, like you're saying, that Hollywood picture is not realistic, or that's not how God necessarily has it. And
spoken
so,
like a realist. I love it.
Mature beyond your years.
I mean, because also like that's just not like normal life.
Right.
Right. And for all of us, when life happens, like, I want somebody that understands that and wants to do life with me rather than just, like, it needs to look a certain way or carry a certain image. And so it's interesting because the way that Hollywood projects it, it brings, like, probably joy or fulfillment, or that's what you assume it brings. Mm-hmm. But if you kind of go after that one, I don't think you find that. But then if you do it the other way, like you're saying, and not understanding what love is, and right, if God is love, then it's a greater understanding of all that that entails. If you pursue that, even in the grinding it out, in the not giving up, in the all of those things that are hard, I think you actually end up finding what you were thinking you were looking for in the Hollywood marriage. You end up finding more fulfillment. You find more joy. You find more peace because you're doing it more in the way that God intended. So it's almost like, yeah, breaking that perspective, like you're saying, Agnes, and then shifting it to something else. In the end, if that's what you pursue, I think you do find what you actually want and what God wants for you. So I'm the rookie here. So I'm still on that journey. I would say we're making good progress, but it's yeah, we've had our seasons too of really having to experience love in that other aspect where it's not just romantic and everything's all rainbows and butterflies, but it's like, all right, you're still going to choose me and I'm still going to choose you.
Well, I'll speak from another realist perspective.
Oh boy, no romantics in this room?
No, I mean,
maybe Damon.
Because the Hollywood part too. It's like sometimes I look at it, and I'm like, that ain't possible. Or like that's like what really? Like you expect me to do that like day in and day out? Like that's not realistic. Like right. So I see it that way. So in some ways, I see the pressure of it too. Like I feel that getting pushed on, but man, is that really possible? So I think when I was younger, it's like, oh yeah, like I could do some more of that. But then after you're married and you're in it, you're like, yeah, that is not realistic at all. It's just, it is an
aspect. So what's not realistic? I'm just curious, like what you think.
I think it's the overemphasis on the feeling part of love. Mm. I mean, it's good. But that's not what a relationship is. There's moments of that, but I think in Hollywood that is the main part. Mm-hmm. And maybe they'll show a little bit of the depth here and there, but it's like, well, that it's the depth part, like Brett, you were sharing too. It's like that's the part that's the more frequent, but then it makes the other part more full when you can bring them all together. But it's like I think it's like the sweep you off your feet, that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. It's not realistic. It's in the movies that's happening frequently and like almost all the time. It's like, okay, yeah, when you're dating, it has more of that, but there's a shift that brings more depth at some point.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I am on the more Disney side of things. I mean, I grew up, Disneyland was my second home growing up.
It's like your first home.
Okay. Maybe it was close to my first home, but anyway, so I think for me, it did shape a portion of how I what I was looking for, but not so much, I think, in like the feeling like it has to be lovey-dovey all the time, but more in like the happily, there is a happily ever after, like it's going to be all flowers and rainbows and da 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 da.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think there was an aspect of that, like if I do the right things, it's going to be like, oh, everything's going to be, if I have the right perspectives, if I have it, you know, if I...
I think that's a good point.
If I do everything correctly from my side, everything's going to be beautiful and happily ever after. And I think one of the things that I'm very thankful for is actually my dad. And so one of the things that my mom used to tell me about my dad is that he would go to work every day and he hated his job. But he would go to work every day like for 30 years, even though he hated his job, because he cared for our family so much. And so he'd consistently go do something that he hated because he cared for our family so much. So I felt like that is in me somewhere, that even in the midst of like, if there's a situation that I don't like, or if there's something that like is bothering me or something that is frustrating to me, like I can persevere because like my dad set that example for me, like because of the care that he had for us, he's willing to endure this thing that he hates. And so I think for me, that has been in my mind, like, oh, there's certain seasons that you might not like, but you can still choose her, or you can still choose to love, or you can still choose to forgive, or you could still choose these things because that's in you. And so I think heading in, I think generally in a lot of relationships, I'm like this, feeling like, oh, it's going to be all happy and rainbows and everything. And then but seeing like even in other relationships too, there are difficult times, there are struggle times. But because of like you were talking about earlier, like family of origin stuff, it's like, okay, that's in me too. So I can continue to persevere, continue to say that it's not going to always be like that. And not knowing if it is or not, but just saying like, I don't have to step into this thinking it's always going to be like this and there's no hope for the future either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of reminds me, or it brings to mind, you know, how in some cultures there's arranged marriages, right? So people don't even know each other when they get married, and yet they stay together because it's not necessarily based on that romantic love, I'm attracted to you, whatever, but it's based on them working it out together. Like they are in that commitment, and then they have to grow and learn how to be with each other and learn to love each other. And I think kind of you were kind of like that, right? You and Mimo, because you guys got married really early. I mean, you did. You were have romantic love too.
We had an arranged marriage.
No. What I meant is like you had to work a lot of things out too, right? Because you guys were young.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. We got married really young, so we had to work out just maturing in the early years of marriage. But yeah.
Well, I don't guess know. It's not the same as...
Maybe she shared some other stuff with you.
Sorry.
I felt like we were set up.
I was going to say one more thing, though, about the Hollywood part. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I really gravitate towards the based on a true story movies. Mm. So when there's depth and there's like, oh, you see how... And I know Hollywood can twist it a little bit to make it a little bit more appealing or whatever. But then that's when, if there's a story of love that comes from that place, instead of just this would be great if it was this way. Even if it has the hurt, it has the depth, you know, it just like, oh, I value that versus more of the typical Hollywood love stuff. So for me, that's more of what attracts me, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think one of the big things you said too is, you actually have to learn how to love and receive love.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't just happen and then all of a sudden that's just what it is.
It's a choice.
It's a choice. Yeah. And like in any relationship, like love languages, mm-hmm. you can be doing, because this is an area that Brittany and I, we struggle through where we have to have multiple conversations and just what does it look like? But in love languages, I can be doing what I think is like, I can be making you flan, right? I could be doing all this stuff, but if that's not like how you receive love, then like my expectation for what I'm doing and like, I'm showing you all of this love by doing this. And then if that's not you can appreciate it. You could be thankful for it. You can feel loved by it, but it's not going to be the same as if I just gave you a word of encouragement. And it's and on paper, that seems like, are you kidding me? Like you can't, like really that means more, or you feel more love that way than that. But in the reality of things, because we all are, you know, different, we're going to have different ways that we receive and give love. And so in any type of friendship, I think it's important to learn how that person does receive love and how you can meet those needs, or you can pour into those things. And then vice versa is understand if you're someone who's like needing to receive love, or you're expecting it or wanting it, well, how does that person naturally like give it? If it's not one of their strong suits, like you're never going to get it from them the way that you think you should get it, right? And so that's something where you have to like learn, be flexible,
well, especially learn to communicate your needs, yeah, and your expectations,
yeah. And I think that goes, yeah, beyond marriages too, just with your for friends, sure, right? If someone wants to spend quality time but you're never giving them quality time, are they gonna feel loved by you? Probably not, because you're not spending that time that they care about. You could be buying them all these gifts and doing all these things, but then if they really want to just spend quality time with you, nothing will make them feel more loved than if you do that, right? And so that's a part of learning it too, because like for myself, I'll give an example so Brittany doesn't feel like me laughing was just because like she's doing this and that. This when we first got married, she was, you know, full-time nurse and she was working the night shift, and so I was like, okay, when we get married, I'm going to take care of everything so she doesn't have to worry about it. I want her to feel cared for. I want her to feel like, you know, the transition to living at the house that I grew up in, like it's all easy. She doesn't have to worry about anything. So I'm going to cook, I'm going to clean, I'm going to da da da. So I do all this stuff, and there's a part of me that's almost like, okay, like I'm doing good. Like,
give me some acknowledgement.
Yeah, or like, yes. Yeah, like I'm being a good husband and stuff. Yeah, yeah. And then I see her and she's kind of like upset. So then now I'm like, why the heck are you upset? And then, you know, we like, I don't know what's going on. And she's kind of like not sharing it for a little while. And so there's this weird, like, okay, why would she be upset? There's like nothing that's wrong right now. All she has to do is go to work, right? Like, obviously the schedule is different and whatnot. So I get that, but there's nothing like wrong that's going on. And then she told me, I appreciate you doing all that stuff, but by you doing all of it makes me feel like we're not doing it together, or like I don't have a part in it. And so I don't feel like we're married, or I don't feel like I'm a part of the family, or I don't feel like this is the place where I live too, because it's almost just like you're doing everything without even like inviting me into it or talking to me about it. And then my initial reaction is like, oh my gosh. I was like, are you kidding me? But then I realized, like, for her, part of quality time is like doing things together or being invested in the same thing. And so then instead of getting upset, like I had to renew my mind and say like, okay, she wants to do the dishes sometimes, or like she wants like for me, like for us to talk about it or do things together so that she feels like a part of the family, a part of including in our routine and all of this stuff. So then I was like, okay, I guess I could do less stuff and allow her to do some of it too. But for me, like I had to learn that. Otherwise, my expectation is she's supposed to feel loved because look at what all that I'm doing, or she's supposed to whatever. And then it ended up not being like that. And so that's just, yeah, one small example that of many that I've had to learn in terms of learning how to love, how to receive love, and how to give love in a way that the other person will actually be able to receive how it's intended.
Now, are you an acts of service guy?
I'm a quality time person, but even for Brittany and I, our quality time is like different, right? So even in that, it's like, it's the same, but it's not. And even that just makes my head hurt, but but it is about learning those things, right? And in choosing her, or in choosing one of my friends that I know this is the way that they feel loved or appreciated or whatever, like, am I, from my perspective, I always ask myself, like, am I willing to choose them in that? And so most of the time it's like, yes. So then what does that look like? And I try to learn how to do that, or to, yeah, apply that so that they can feel loved or appreciated or seen or known or whatever it is.
It makes me think of yesterday in our class, Blake shared something really insightful. So Blake does a lot of like coaching and training with communication and stuff at his work. And one thing he highlighted, because yesterday's lesson was on basically like active listening and being a good listener. And he made a good comment that usually when we're listening to people, we're already trying to come up with solutions and we're trying to respond. But the things we're coming up with sound great to us because it's how we would want it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh yeah, I got the solution. This is a perfect way to do it. But we're not taking into consideration what the other person actually wants. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh yeah. Like, I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking I'm doing it in view of how it would fit them. And maybe there's some aspects that do cross over that way, but really it's my flavor, my lens of how I think it would help them. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it might work sometimes. You get some wins, but a lot of times, like you're just saying, you both have quality time, but your quality time looks a lot different than hers. And you have to learn that, but it comes through communication. It comes from listening, it comes from observing, and it comes from
trial and error.
And well, and yes. dying to yourself of like,
yeah,
my way is the right way. I see how to do this. It's like, well, maybe you see a different way that could help blend some of their way too, but really it's for them. You're not doing it for yourself, or you shouldn't be at least.
Yeah, that's interesting because that makes me think of something. So in my family, like growing up, food was a huge way of expressing love. Mm. And so my mom was always cooking and doing stuff for my dad, right? Like food wise. So I kind of picked that up too. So when I want to show love, I cook a lot too, or I make something, you know, that I think the other person will like. But so Henry is not a huge food person. He is a huge junk food person.
He likes snacks and desserts.
He does. He is a snack person. But as far as like, you know, cooking a night, you know, a meal or whatever, it's not. Or like if it's his birthday, like going to his favorite restaurant, that's not necessarily his thing, right? So I've had to learn the hard way too, because I try to do that based on how I grew up, right? And it just doesn't fall the same for him versus going and washing his car without like him knowing, right? And then he has his car washed. And then like similar for me, like, you know how in a lot of women like getting flowers, not everybody, but, and I don't mind flowers, but for me, I think it's this Chinese thing. It's like, you know, the flowers are gonna just
die.
So after, you know, 5 or 6 days, they're gonna die. So it's just a waste of money, right? That's a very Chinese thing for me anyway.
It's not just Chinese. Tracy's told me that before too. Don't buy me flowers.
Get me gold instead.
Well, I think some women would like it, right? They think it's romantic.
But I also felt like God told me, doesn't matter how she thinks about that, still buy her the flowers anyway. So there have been times where I have bought the flowers anyway.
Right, in addition. But then I think about it, like there's one thing. So for me, my top love language is physical touch. So there is this one thing that he does. It's not graphic or anything, okay?
Dang.
But like at night when we are going to bed, like he will just take my hand. And so we'll kind of like go to bed like that, like holding hands. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen every night because we're like really tired or whatever. But
you said the Disney princess thing doesn't work.
I know, right? Happen. So that is kind of romantic, isn't it?
That's kind of Disney princessy right there, holding hands.
Way to go, Henry.
Fall asleep.
Way to go.
And then you, hopefully long, long, long in the future when you guys pass away together, holding hands, like
we're
in a notebook.
Buried together. Wow. Right, buried together with our hands.
In
holding.
Like 80 years.
but see, like that makes me feel loved, you know, more than like getting flowers. Mm. So, yeah. So it's true. It's really true. And you have to, there's a selflessness, right? Mm-hmm. You have to do it the way they want to be loved, not necessarily how you want to be loved or how you want to do it. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So this is, you know, in marriage where you're around each other all the time, but it can be in your family, especially if you haven't left home yet and you're like around your parents, around your siblings all the time. It's not quite the same level, but it's the same thing of like, okay, like, am I going to die to self? Am I going to find out? Am I going to do things for them the way they want? Or am I going to try to win? It's in your close relationship. I mean, obviously, the further out your relationships are in, like, the intimacy circle, it's like, yeah, I'm not going to be too offended or I'm not going to put as much into it. But then, like, your close friends, it's like, oh, man, I got to learn them better because I want to be a good friend. I want them to know. So I have to be able to communicate with them, like, oh, that really – thanks for doing that, but that really doesn't speak that much to me. This does instead. Mm-hmm. But that takes vulnerability. It takes like, oh man, what if they like backlash with me and like, am I willing to do that? So, I mean, it applies everywhere. Just the marriage one, it's like you're around each other.
It's magnified.
You're around each other all the time, right, Brett? It's like 25 years I'm into this. Like, man, we've been married longer now than we've been single. So it's like,
wow, man, that's an interesting thought. Yeah,
it's a long time. Anyways, just wanted to bring that fullness. It gets harder the more intimate circle it is. It's like, but we all have those different levels of intimacy and those close ones. Yeah, our listeners probably know it too. When you put more into it, you get more out of it. But there's also that chance it's going to get messy for a little bit, or it's going to be, you know, some tears, some angry words, some hurt feelings, and that all can come with it. Because that definitely doesn't stop when you get married, right, Brett?
Nope.
I'm just making sure you're still being honest. So, okay.
All right. I think that kind of actually is a good segue into, I think, your third topic, right? Because you said your third topic was about communication.
No, actually, that's
I was wrong.
Part of what to do.
Okay, so but what was number three?
The third one is learn to forgive. Okay, so
I'm gonna check out here.
Yeah, I'm gonna say take the mic, Agnes.
I mean, I'm sorry. Like, people are going to let you down. Your spouse is going to let you down. Your friends are going to let you down. Like, we're all human. It's going to happen. You're going to get into fights, you know, and it's okay.
Hey, you just burst normal. Like 20 bubbles right there. Like, man, that was.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh. I'm not trying to be negative, but it's. I'm trying to be more realistic.
It's true. Hey, thanks for being a realist. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining our world, right, Brett?
Yep.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, no, it's okay.
Like, lose your train of thought.
Damon's kind of quiet there, but.
Oh, I'm quiet because I think it's just interesting the timing of all this because, so as a staff, we've mentioned that we've going through Awe of God, right? And so the person who does the Awe of God is John Bevere. Mm-hmm. And my first time that I ever heard about him was someone gave me a book, or maybe I saw the book, but it was called Bait of Satan. Mm-hmm. And he wrote it. And the kind of the theme of that book is how Satan tries to get us to hold on to offense, mm-hmm. and how that really hurts us and hurts our relationships. And that's why it says it's the bait of Satan, is to mm-hmm. hold on to offense, mm-hmm. and how mm-hmm. the Lord wants to set us free from that, mm-hmm. and how the only way to set us free is through forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure if this is in that book, but I feel like for me, the Lord has been showing me like there's three levels to forgiveness. One is like receiving forgiveness from the Lord, mm-hmm. and then one is forgiveness from the other person, but then also it's forgiveness of yourself too. Mm-hmm. So it's like if we're able to receive that forgiveness in all three areas, then the Lord can really make us whole again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like
prayer that's, ministry, right, Agnes? Mm-hmm,
totally. Yeah. I mean, when you're saying that, that's what we do when people have to forgive. Like, we have to go through all three levels usually mm-hmm. to get them to the wholeness.
And it is interesting, right? And you could give some maybe more background, but unforgiveness is usually one of the biggest things that, or the starting points to get to the things that maybe the other things that need to be dealt with, it usually starts with there's some kind of unforgiveness because that's like a blockage too. So it's an entry point for the enemy to come and attack, but you can't get to the other stuff until you actually go to that place first.
Yeah, that happens a lot. What happens is there's something they're holding on to and it becomes kind of a root, right? And mm-hmm. and it's sitting there, and because they haven't dealt with that or haven't forgiven that person or whatever, they can't get to anything else because that emotion tied to the unforgiveness is so strong that they can't see clearly. So a lot of times that's the first place we go. A lot of times when we do prayer ministry is unforgiveness.
Because that actually gives permission to the enemy to come and torment you too, right?
It does.
Until you deal with that. So even if you want to move on, you can't because of that. And he's able to then really have a grip or a hold on you.
Right, right. And that's why it's so important that you learn how to forgive. And when I mean learn, because, you know, when you forgive. So
it's not just saying I forgive you?
No, of course not.
No, because I think when you grow up as a kid, you just say you forgive them, or it's like, okay, fine. It just, you have to do it to move on and to like let the thing go away. But it's a lot more than that, right?
Yeah. And then besides like what you said, Damon, about like three levels, there's also a depth of the forgiveness. So maybe the first step is to just say that, right? Okay, you're willing to say that. You're willing to say, I'm going to forgive you. But then it goes deeper when you're actually letting go, right, of your bitterness, or letting go and not judging them the next time. Not like, okay, so love is not keeping a record of wrongs, right, in 1 Corinthians. So that means the next time you argue, you can't, whatever you were forgave that person for, you can't bring that up. So my parents would do that all the time. Like, I think I've done that too. Like, oh, remember the time that you blah, blah, blah? Well, you said blah, blah, blah.
That's a dangerous right? game.
Right. So.
Well, it depends. If the person has a bad memory, then you can get away with stuff. But oh, yeah. I'm sorry. That was not.
No, that happened. Okay, so Henry has a really good memory, and my memory is horrible, like, for that kind of stuff. So I can never win that way. But yeah. It's not about winning.
No, I was going to say, like, right. You almost need to go to this one first. Like, unforgiveness or forgiveness needs to be first, because right. then that actually helps take away the
wanting
it's about
to win.
The winning and
yes,
stuff. Because
that's yeah. true. That's true. That's true.
Sorry, go ahead. And
No. And the only other thing I would say about that is it's hard to do it too when you're stressed out and you're tired. So with these things, like, it's harder to forgive when you're in the height of emotion or you have a gazillion things you have to do or you're rushing. I mean, all of those things, it makes it more difficult. But I think if you can forgive and keep forgiving, that is huge. Because, yeah, you're going to get into arguments. You're going to get into fights. You're going to get into disagreements. And they're going to hurt you. If you have any depth of relationship, you have opened yourself up vulnerably, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can get hurt. And if you get hurt, you have to be able to let go of that hurt to the Lord in order to move on and heal.
Oh, I thought you were getting ready to speak. So, yeah, for me, it, let's see, where was I going to go with that? Creating space, like having margin. And so what I'm hearing you say is to have a healthy relationship, you can't be maxed out. Because if you're yes. that way of, you know, your mental energy, your emotional, your space, then you're going to either not be able to get to that place of forgiveness or other things are going to be affecting you and your ability in that relationship. Mm-hmm. Is that from experience? Because I live with somebody who's kind of in that vein. So
yes, and yeah, I definitely relate to that person because
okay, Mimo.
Right? if you spend all day long, right, like talking to people or listening to people, and then you know you still have to take your kid somewhere by this time, right? And then you also have to get your work done that you didn't finish at work. And then you have to go home and you have to cook and make sure that stuff is ready for people to eat it for dinner. I mean, it's just everything's compounded,
oh,
right?
For sure.
And then you hit traffic on the way back, right? Yeah. So then when you get home and you see your husband, you're not going to be like, oh, hello, how was your day?
Get out of my way. I got things to do.
Yeah, exactly.
No, and I'm not saying I'm immune to it. Like, I notice it when I am in a situation where I'm more stressed by time or things I got to get done. Oh man, with my kids, with Mimo, it definitely comes out way different. Mm-hmm. And when I have more space, it's so much more noticeable of, oh man, I have more peace right now. I'm handling that way different. Wow, good for me. But then the next day it's like, oh no, it's because I wasn't stressed out. I wasn't overextended.
Right.
And I mean, I give Mimo a lot of credit because she recognized it at some point too. She had to have self-awareness, but then she still had to make choices where it was hard for her because she liked being busy. She liked doing everything. She liked not saying no to things. And so, but now I see like how much more space and how much more self-care she has in that sense. And it's come at a cost and sacrifices, but I think for her benefit, and I think she would say the same thing.
Yeah.
I think too, sometimes when we hold on to the offense and we don't forgive and we don't release that, we can feel that we're carrying it, right? So then we start to try to, whether it's escape or try to find other things to cover it up, avoid, or to hide, avoid, right? Because we something in us feels like we're carrying it and it's heavy and it's hard and it hurts. And so then we try to find these other things, but then we start using those things and then we forget, and it gets so buried that we don't recognize that's still underneath everything.
Well, right? It gets buried until it gets poked again, right?
Yeah. And then it starts to leak out, right? So I think that's where, when we were talking earlier about like self-reflection, and we talked about this a little bit last week too, it's like self-reflection is really important so that we can identify the roots so that we can allow the Lord to bring those up. And so we can have that wholeness and that, experience the fullness that He has for us and not just the part.
Yeah. So I was thinking, how do you know, I'm going to pose this to you guys, how do you know you've forgiven?
Ooh, we know you're comfortable when you're asking us questions. Yeah. Good job. So then you get to call somebody out first too, if you want.
Yeah. Well, we haven't heard from Brett.
How do I know when I've actually forgiven somebody? Mm-hmm. I think it would have to be when I kind of take it to, I don't know if this is an extreme, but say somebody did something that bothers me. Okay. And then they end up asking for forgiveness, and I will forgive them, or, you know, think about it, or take some time. I think I know when I've like really forgiven them is if like the situation comes up again or something similar comes up, and my instinct isn't just to like go back to that same place, but it's like I can treat it as a separate or a new thing and deal with it as it is, rather than like, you know,
you're not reacting.
Yeah. All the thoughts of, okay, they did it again, or, oh, they didn't really mean it. You know, like all those things can just come up as soon as that happens. And you're triggered almost in a way of whether it's like recording wrongs or blaming them or putting or projecting something onto it. So I don't know if that's too extreme by like waiting until something happens again. But I do think there's an aspect of, even if somebody does something and they ask for forgiveness, okay, the next time that I see them, is there something inside of me that wells up? Even if like, I don't want to see them, or I don't want to talk to them, or I don't know how it's going to be, or if there's something in there where it's still like a tension or awkwardness or something that's poking me, then sometimes it leads me to try to discern and question, okay, did I really forgive them, or is there something that's still bothering me? And sometimes it's, there could be that feeling still, and it's just more like wanting to make sure that that other person's okay too, right? Just to make sure that they don't feel like guilt still, or they don't feel ashamed, or whatever it is. But I know if there's something still bothering me, or if I don't want to be around them, or it's poking me, then it's like, oh, okay, there's still something there that's affecting you, or you're holding on to, or you haven't fully let go of yet.
Yeah, I think there's parts of forgiveness that just take time too. So I think your comment of waiting to see it for the next time does it actually stir, I think you can think and almost decide like, yeah, I've forgiven that person, or that situation is dealt with, but you don't know the depth of it until it comes back again. So I think that's just where you find out like, oh, it's not as bad as it was, or it's definitely gotten better, but it's still, there's still more. So I think that is just part of the process. I think for me, it is more of just, if it's, you're around the person again, does it just get drawn back to like, it's like the class we're doing, emotionally healthy. It's like, what feelings are coming up? Oh, it's like, I see that person, I'm getting tense, I'm getting tight shoulders, I'm getting like, I'm actually just getting irritated, or, you know, whatever. It's like, oh, like, what? They didn't even do anything. I just saw them. It's like, oh, there's something underneath the surface. So I think it's more of in the moment, if something's bubbling up, then it's like, oh, there's still more there. Or if not, it's like, oh, no, I feel good around this person now, or this situation.
Are you actually talking about feelings?
I know. Agnes is at my table, so we've had some interesting discussions. I'm going to think about my feelings. How about that? How about you, Damon?
Yeah, I think for me, actually, the Lord has been bringing up a lot of areas for me recently, stuff, and I had a comment or attribute it to taking that class too. I feel like he's been bringing up a lot of situations from the past to highlight to me how I haven't dealt with them. And so it's been interesting, because I think the way that I would process it before is different than how I process it now, because I feel like the Lord is bringing it up not to like be like, see, you haven't forgiven this person, but I really feel like it's, hey, now it's time to set you free. Like, I want to set you free. And these are things that you've been holding on to that they still affect you, even if you aren't aware that they still affect you. And so I want you to be able to release them to me so that you can be set free and that you can respond in new ways because it is affecting your feelings, how you feel about certain situations that you're in now, how you're reacting to certain situations that you're in now. It's because you're still holding on to some of these things from the past and you haven't dealt with them. And so it's funny because I was kind of sharing one with Agnes earlier and she's like, oh, see, you need to go to prayer ministry and then get that dealt with. But the sense that I was getting from the Lord in that specific scenario was he's been working on me already. And so I don't want to say we don't need to go to prayer ministry. I totally see the value and I think that it's important. And I want to encourage everybody, if you haven't been to prayer ministry, to go. But I think for me personally in that scenario, I felt like the Lord was saying, like, we've worked on it together. Like, you don't need other people to work on that part. There's probably other stuff that will come out in a prayer ministry or something like that. But for that particular one, like, we've worked on it. So that's part of why he brought it up to me, was so that we could work on it together and I could learn how to work on it together with him. And I think that's part of what prayer ministry is too. It's like for people that don't know how to work on it
for
with
sure.
the Lord, then they're able to have other people to partner with them and help walk them through that journey, right? And so for that particular one, I felt like, okay, yeah, I feel like the Lord has helped to walk me through that scenario. And so, but I'm still sure that there's other stuff that I'll probably need to go to prayer ministry for that he'll highlight later and say, yeah, this one you do need to go. Because I do think it's funny because I think sometimes for me too, I try to get into certain patterns like, oh, this one worked in the past or this one. And I feel like the Lord will be like, no, don't rely on the patterns. Like you have to rely on like, I'm going to highlight what you need right now. Like this particular one you worked on with me, but this other particular one, you might need to go to prayer ministry. You might need to go to counseling. You might need to go to various things, but you need to be open to hearing my voice and saying and seeking me for what is appropriate for this one and not just, oh, this pattern worked in the past. Because I think when we get so stuck on the patterns, then we don't need God anymore, right? Like it's just, we're relying on our patterns or our habits. And I feel like that's been something that he's been highlighting to me is that I can get so comfortable with my routines or my patterns that it's kind of excluding him from the whole situation, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like what Brett was sharing about Brittany before. It's like, I'm just doing everything and then I get used to the way that it's done. And then the Lord's like, wait, you didn't invite me into any of this stuff anymore because you're so doing it out of routine or doing it out of habit or pattern. So I think that's been something that the Lord has been kind of teaching me about this situation is just to seek him for each specific scenario and he'll highlight what the next steps are for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did we answer your question good?
Yes.
All right, good.
Yes. Those were very nice.
All right. Well, we're close to like an hour and 10 minutes already and we haven't even gotten to like the what to do next. So I'm thinking that maybe what we should do is we should end this episode now. And I think we were talking about it earlier that we might have a second episode that because we didn't know how long Agnes could stay. But I'm thinking maybe we should just cut this episode now, release it, and then we'll just hit stop and we'll start again right away and we'll release the second part later this week. What do you guys think?
Sure.
All right. What do you think, Brett? You didn't say anything.
Sure.
Well, you're supposed to just say, well, that's all for this episode, but we're going to have Agnes back for another episode. You just gave him the whole rundown. It's like the same day. Like,
well, because I didn't talk to you guys about it beforehand, so I just wanted to make sure that...
It's all good. They get to hear the behind the scenes.
There you go.
All right. So that's it for this episode. We'll have a part two coming up later this week. So thanks again for listening. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.